The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Hi, I'm Bills defensive end Greg Russo, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills!
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I am your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us on this, on another pre-free agency off-season edition, where we have plenty of fun topics to discuss. We have some news topics, which I didn't think would pop up. They just did in the last few days. We are going to discuss those, including Cole Beasley, his agent getting a request granted to seek a trade from the Buffalo Bills or from another team to be traded away from the Buffalo Bills. We have some interesting information on some friction within the team, particularly the coaching staff and players within the organization, as brought up by a Tyler Dunn article. We have the Bills coming back to training camp at St. John Fisher this season and some other things. And we're going to list out our biggest Bills needs heading into free agency and then into the draft. And then we have the Fred Jackson jersey giveaway from Buffalo Autographs. So we're going to announce that at the end of the podcast. So stick around for that. But first, I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. And guys, off season again. We didn't just watch Bills game that we're reacting to. We're talking about Bills needs, how they can get better, where they might have some weaknesses at. How are you guys doing, John? I'll start with you.
I am doing excellent. I'm ready for this off season. It's kind of weird. It doesn't matter how good or bad you are. It seems like you always have a ton of needs as you enter the off season, and then inevitably in training camp, you feel like you're all set. So. Let's go through the cycle again.
I'm hoping that this streak doesn't end this time. They're not like, man, we have got a lot of needs. You got a lot of holes heading into the season. Well, let's hope that they get it together. But definitely, I agree 100%, John. It's funny how that happens. Mike, how are you doing this lovely episode?
Doing well. Not excited to be here. It seems like football more and more every year has become a 365 day a year sport.
Yeah, especially when I make you guys come in the off season every week, right? Well, let's talk about first news and notes. This just happened as we're recording this a couple days ago. Cole Beasley's agent was granted a request from the Buffalo Bills to seek a trade from another team. We mentioned on the last episode that Cole Beasley was one of our favorites to either get a pay cut or potentially be cut altogether. And I'm guessing this is what happened. Now, this is all speculation, of course. But I'm guessing what happened is Brandon Bean, since the Bills have almost no cap room at all whatsoever, They defaulted on all their credit cards at this point. But like we always mentioned, like we mentioned last week, there's always money in the banana stand. They went to Cole Beasley and asked him to take a pay cut for $2 to $3 million or whatever. He is owed $7.6 million. He has a dead cap of $1.6 million. So that means if they cut him out right now, they would save $6.1 million in space. So this is going to get kind of hard to talk. Math is always hard to talk about over an audio medium, but I'm guessing what happened is they asked him to take a $2 or $3 million pay cut, right? So that would bring him down to $5 million, let's say. And he's like, well, how about if we can find a trade partner? And then Cole Beasley will get paid all $7.6 million. He'll get paid the $1.6 from the Buffalo Bills and then the $6.1 from the other team. So no matter what, the Bills are going to eat that 1.6 regardless, at least 1.6. So I'm guessing what happened is they gave him that option. He's going to search for other teams to see if anybody will offer anything so that he can get paid out all $7.6 million. The problem that I see with the situation is, and we'll never know necessarily unless Cole's agent comes out like that, but I feel like these guys never get traded. They either take the pay cut or they get released right out. But they could come back with a sixth or seventh round pick from, let's say, the Cowboys or something. Probably not the Cowboys because he came from the Cowboys. Let's say it's like the Cardinals, right? The Arizona Cardinals. They're like, oh, we'll give a sixth round pick for Cole. Great. Perfect. Let's go back to the Buffalo Bills. Okay. Hey, Brandon Bean, we got you a sixth round pick. This they'll trade for Cole Beasley. What do you say? And then Brandon Bean will be like, well, we were kind of hoping for a fourth round pick because Cole Beasley not being on the team is a lot different than having Cole Beasley and $2 or $3 million to play with. So it's kind of this weird thing where if you're Cole Beasley, you also have to figure out if you can't get traded, then is it worth taking that $2 or $3 million or is it worth or pay cut? So you're only making like $5 million or is it worth getting cut, taking 1.6 right off the bat and hoping you can find another $4 million salary somewhere else. And not only that, it has to be worth your while because you're going from a team that you have great familiarity with, that you had great numbers with for the most part in Buffalo and Josh Allen, to another organization where you might not have that. So I'm not sure what's going to happen, but that's my guess at everything that's happening. If you had to guess, John and Mike, with this information that you have, if you could look into the future, if you have a crystal ball in front of you, if you have a magic eight ball ahead of you, the odds of Cole Beasley coming back are, John, I'll give you that. Because now we know that there's definitely a possibility. There's more than a decent possibility that he won't be back with the team. John, what do you think about that?
I didn't necessarily think it was that great before that news came out because of the cap hit and their salary cap situation. Depending on the depth of the receiver class that could work against, you know, Bean, but maybe they can get a future conditional pick out of it or something. It's hard to see him on the team next year because of the cap situation.
Yeah, and you know that they've literally gone to him and asked for a pay cut. We don't know that for sure. This is all speculation. But why else would he be looking for a trade unless he's been asked to take a pay cut? Because that's the only other way that you're going to get your full amount of money unless you take a gamble on yourself and you get released outright and you get signed with another team. Mike?
If you're him, though, what would you do?
If I'm him, I'd take the pay cut, I think. Unless you know that there's a lot of other teams that would pay for your services. He had a down year, too. Like, he didn't have as good of a year last season that he did. The season before, he had almost 1,000 yards. This season, I don't think he had 700 yards, you know, with more games. So, you know, it felt like there was a lack. But then again, they had Emmanuel Sanders on the team. But maybe they brought Emmanuel Sanders on the team because they didn't necessarily trust Colby. I don't know. Like, it's...
Did he have some injuries this year? Or maybe not. Like, he had 82 receptions each of the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. He had some less yardage, but he did have over 80 catches the last couple of years, which is the best of his career.
12 third down conversions, third and goal.
But he's also going to be 33 next year, so you know that's working against him.
When you're looking,
I think he has. When he signed his deal, right, that was long before the COVID situation. So I think he has, like, there's a little bit of that as well, don't you?
The COVID situation?
Just his outspokenness and impact. I mean, other players, GM, like, always having to answer questions about him.
Do you think that matters at all? Because I kind of think it does when it's...
I think anything off the field comes into play. Yeah.
If you're playing amazingly, then those off the field things are like minute compared to, but if you're like outspoken and it's not, it's, and this isn't even like a COVID conversation or a vaccine conversation, but it was Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott were very vocal that they wanted their players to get vaccinated. And he was very clearly like, I'm not doing that. So,
I mean, he missed time. It's not debatable or controversial. Like, he missed time because of COVID.
Because he didn't listen. He didn't listen. And that's his free choice, for sure. And he has absolutely every right to say no to that, which I respect. But that,
like, if I were, I mean, at the end of the, if I were him, I would try and stick with the Bills. If you value winning, for sure. Yeah. Like, are you going somewhere else is a huge question mark.
Just think about all the wide receivers that have left their teams and done amazing on other teams. Like, there's not that many of them. Like, lots of really talented guys, like, leave teams and don't necessarily have amazing careers with other teams. So I look at that point. So I guess if it was me, I would hold fast, obviously, if I'm the Bills, to having him take that pay cut, because Josh Allen has proven that he elevates the play of his wide receivers.
Like, I think Cole Beasley had the best career, right? They have
season of his entire career with Josh Allen.
Right, the Bills have the hand.
Yep. Oh, you're going with the Seinfeld reference. Nice. The Bills definitely have hand in this one. Well, I like that one. That's a good free agency term. Okay. The team has hand. Brandon Bean. His tremendous hand in this arrangement. What was that? That was basically just saying that you had the advantage in a relationship. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And what was
interesting? Do you think that's true? Like, in any relationship, somebody is always more willing to walk away than somebody else. Even if it's, it's, could be 49.9.
Yeah. To 50.1.
Right. To what is that, John?
Pulls up my scientific calculator. It's stuck.
You
in,
think I'm surprised at how quickly you were like, oh yeah, definitely, that's absolutely true.
Oh yeah, my wife has absolutely. Oh yeah, that's true. I don't know what I do without her. She's like, I'm like an accessory to her. She's just no. Yeah. I think so. I think that there's definitely. John, what do you think about that?
I'd rather not think about it.
He's like, I'd rather not think about my wife. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. She's like, huh, maybe. Wasn't there, was that the hand thing? Did that come because George and his fiance and he was like, he went to that one
different random person.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It wasn't at the end. At the end, he couldn't believe that she was breaking up with him, because he was like, I have hand. And she's in the, you know how they always tie it together in the end is closing. So he's like, I have hand. And she's like, and you're going to need it. Yeah. And when you're a little kid watching that, you're like, ha, ha, ha. Like, you know, it's on the you're rewatch, like, 10 years later. It's like, oh,
and you're like, why did my parents let me watch that? They're real and they're fantastic. What was it? Was it the contest?
They knew that you wouldn't know that they were talking about.
The innuendos.
Why is Dolores funny?
I didn't get that till a couple years ago until you guys explained that to me on the podcast. I think I forgot that one. I'm like, Dolores, like, what is that one?
Mulva.
Mulva. yeah. They're real and they're fantastic. Okay, I think that does the contest.
Spectacular.
The
contest,
spectacular. They're real and they're spectacular. Thank you. Sorry, John. so yeah, so the Bills absolutely have a hand on this one. And if I were Cole Beasley, if you could, so let's say couple million dollars, he could either make $5 million instead of $7 million. Instead of $7.5 million, he makes $5 million in Buffalo, or he goes out there somewhere else to make maybe $6 million, but the quarterback situation is sketchy. Like, you know, he's not going to be offered at 34 years old an $8 or $9 million deal. Like, no one's going to offer that to him. He had a down year last season. He was outspoken against COVID, like a number of different things, right? His best bet is to stay in Buffalo and potentially have another really good season. So he either gets extended by Buffalo, which I doubt will happen, or, you know, I don't know. That's the only option I see.
He's going to be too old for big extensions. I mean, like, that, I don't think it's going to, like, has he ever had a 1,000-yard season?
No, he almost
has. He's going to be 33. Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I agreed. Agreed. So I say Bills, Brandon Bean, stay steadfast. Keep that hand. Yeah. So that's where that ends up right now. It's a really interesting topic. I put some polls on Twitter, and definitely some. It's funny how emotional people get with their responses. But I said Cole Beasley has a cap hit of $7.6 million. If his agent found a trade partner, he would save the team $6.1 million in cap space. And these are the four options. What do you do? Trade him for a low pick, release him outright, keep him and his full salary, or take a pay cut of $2 to $3 million. Now, the biggest, if you guys had to guess, of course, I gave you five options right there, but four options, but trade him for a low pick was the number one option at 56%. The next one was take a pay cut of $2 to $3 million at 33%. And then the other, like, 11% were release him outright or keep him at full salary. But either way, it sounds like the majority of people, almost 90% of Bills fans, do not want to keep him at his full salary. Like, they just, they don't want it. And they also don't want to completely release him outright. They want to get a pick for him or have him take a pay cut. Which I think is unlikely to get a pick to get a pick for him. Like, I just feel like you just don't see that often. So, like, my next poll below that was, like, if Cole Beasley's agent is looking for a trade, is he successful in finding any trade partner? And 53% of Bills fans say yes. So 46% say no. I thought it was going to be more like 80% said no. You know, I didn't think the majority would say yes. That's what I love about these polls, is sometimes what I think is definitely not what Bill's Mafia is thinking.
Forever optimistic.
Forever. Bill's Mafia, right? Like, not me.
I mean, I'm optimistic.
You think that they'll get a chance to trade him for a low pick?
He traded somebody last year that I thought they were just going to cut.
Like, their seventh, their defensive end,
somebody, like, and it was just, yeah, like, oh well, he got a pick out of it, like, even though, like, a bad pick, but it's like, oh, I just thought they were gonna cut him, but
they were gonna have to cut him, and they got a seventh round pick for Daryl Johnson, right? Like, that's a win, or a sixth round pick even, maybe. Yeah, absolutely. They already had too many players, they couldn't keep them all. So,
but you're telling me you can't get, like, a future, like, not even this draft, a future draft conditional pick for Beasley, even if it's, like, a sixth rounder or something? Like, come on.
Maybe. That's a good point. I guess I'm thinking this year, yeah. A conditional,
they already have nine picks this year. They don't need any more picks this year, right? They get nine picks.
they need a stockpile for 2023 right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, good point. Good point. It was just interesting to see how many people, I mean, they want to trade him. You want the low. I just don't know if it's going to happen. But it's funny that people think that, as opposed to, like, just having him stay on the team and take a pay cut, or stay on the team in general. So, like, if you look at it from that point of view, 60% of the people just want him gone. They either want him traded or released outright. So,
well, I think if it wasn't for the salary cap issue,
yeah,
I think that's the biggest thing. Because otherwise, like, why not? Right? He's been great for the Bills. Why not keep him? He's been great at the, you know, finding the great zone slot receiver. He can pick up the extra yards. He can get those first downs.
Like, I think, why not? Exhausted with the COVID stuff. personally.
I think who cares? Plays a COVID's lot of- over. The Russia's invading Ukraine. It's a totally different story now.
Yeah, COVID's done. Isn't that great? Kids don't have to wear masks at school. Not that, I mean, everything.
Congratulations, you made it.
Wherever you're listening to. You made it. I read something that like 60% of kids got COVID. Mind you, it was like a Weather Channel article. I don't know how trustworthy they are. I guess just as trustworthy as everywhere I read. But yeah, so, yeah. I'm curious if the COVID thing is really that big of a deal, because I talked to other people and they don't seem to be as fazed by that. They think that that's not really the case, but I'm sure it doesn't help when you're telling the team, we want you to get this because this will give us our best chance as a team to win, and you're just like, no. And I'm sure, knowing Sean McDermott, the way that we do, he's probably like, okay, we can get you resources. We can talk to team physicians, this and that, to tell you why they think you should do it. And you're just like, no. Like, okay, all right. Well, there's only so many times, only so many opportunities you can do that. Or you can take
that. Well, I think it's a bad look for the organization, too. Like, when they were on CNN, it was Cole Beasley's face talking about how he's the face of anti-vaccine. When they were in USA Today, it was like, oh, this is why the Bills are in the news, the national news, because like, it's just the exhaustion. Like, you're asking the poll on Twitter, and that's where he was constantly, I would say, he feels attacked. Like, he was upset when Bills fans were saying Beasley. He thought they were booing him. Like, it's just he constantly, how do you want to characterize it, like, feels attacked. Mm-hmm. I guess, and just it's exhausting. That's just my take. Like, yeah,
he definitely had soft skin. I personally don't care,
but
we were at that game.
it's just not. It's not for anything positive ever, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think about it, he was the face for anti-vaccine and anti-vaccination for all sports, right? I mean, there might have been a couple of others, but none as outspoken as Cole Beasley, right? I mean, we kind of get lost in this whole, like, we follow the team so closely that, you know, sometimes you forget to look outwardly, but I don't remember another NFL player coming out at all as strongly against it, or at least spoke his mind as freely as Cole Beasley did. And I don't think anyone else in the NBA or what's that?
Yeah, I mean, kudos to him for speaking his mind and point of view where so many players are quiet on the subject. Like, it's good to have varying points of view, right? Like, he was speaking out, not necessarily just because anti-vax, but because of some of the rules the NFL put in place. You know, I don't want to get into it, but like, yeah, like, everybody's free to speak their mind on different things. I don't think that's a problem.
I guess, but by the same token, he's free to speak his mind, but he's free to be criticized because of it. Like, maybe due to his platform, people, right, like, put athletes on a pedestal and thought he did his research more than medical doctors, and so they didn't get the shot and got COVID, and who knows? Like, I personally think it's a pretty idiotic take.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. You know what's idiotic is if somebody takes their medical advice from a professional athlete and thinking that, like, Cole Beasley knows any more or less than, like, you know, or, like, if somebody – I don't think anyone ever looked at, like, any of his tweets and is like, you know what? He's got a point. I think he's got a point. I think I'm just going to do what he does. It either, like, I don't agree with you automatically, or I 100% see exactly what you're saying, Cole, and I feel the same way. I don't feel like there was a lot of people – that were like in the, what does Cole Beasley have to say about this topic, you know? And so I guess if you had to guess, so like my guess is he's going to stay with the team and he's going to just take a pay cut because I think that's the best thing for either his career, legacy, or whatever. He not only gets a chance to play with Josh Allen, but he gets a chance in another, possibly winning a ring. I mean, that is going to be the selling point for every free agent to come to Buffalo. So that should absolutely be a selling point for him to stay in Buffalo, even at a reduced rate. I mean, unless maybe money is that important, that for an extra $500,000, maybe $1 million, it's worth going to completely, you know, different outcome. But I don't necessarily think that's the case. So I think he stays.
it's tough. If they can't trade him, and he doesn't take the pay cut, I think they'll release him. It's too much money.
Mm-hmm. But isn't he forced to take a pay cut at that point? Or he's very prideful guy. He might be like, well.
Well, they could release him, and he could still catch on with another team for more money than, I don't know, if he bets on himself. It's tough.
There's certain times in your career where you should bet on yourself. I don't know if it should be when you're 30, almost 34 years old, and you had a down season, and you know maybe half the people that could be your potential employers are kind of like, man, I don't really like what you were saying about that thing. You know,
but even 2 or 3 million, like, wouldn't you rather save 6 million and draft someone that's supposed to be a deep class and receiver?
That's the thing about all of this is, like I mentioned before, Josh elevates his wide receivers, all of his receiving weapons. I mean, every single one of them have gotten better. Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley. I mean, I don't know about Emmanuel Sanders necessarily, but like almost all of them have succeeded better with Josh Allen as their quarterback, especially in the last couple of years. So I would say that
if Hodgins happened to be the third best guy, like that might not. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about Hodgins the last couple of years. He could be that guy.
Like, I haven't looked into the like wide receiver realm that much, but there's probably a slot receiver out there who's like just got out of his rookie contract, not expected to make a lot, maybe makes $4 or $5 million. Josh Allen will take him from like a 40 catch guy to like a 70 or 80 catch guy. You know, like, would you say, who's that guy that just, the guy from the Jets, Jameson Crowder? Like, he might be, I think he's a free agent this year. Like, you're telling me for like $5 million, he wouldn't maybe be an upgrade over Cole Beasley? Like, they might get him on the cheap because he played for the Jets and the Jets are terrible. So, you know, you might be able to get him for $4 or $5 million, and he's younger, and I don't know. I think it's possible. So I think they could take an Isaiah Hodgins or even a draft pick, like a decently, you know, a draft pick that's high, maybe first few rounds. Yeah, I think he could be better than Cole Beasley, potentially. I would still like, I'm more of a conservative gambler. I would still rather him on my team with a pay cut rather than release him outright, though. But we'll see if they have the chance to get like a really good player. Like, when we get into the needs section of this podcast, they might have to, you know, part with Cole Beasley if he won't take the pay cut, and just to make space for him. So they have that in their back pocket. They might just pay him outright. Who knows if time comes down to it and they need that cap space, all 6.1, and he won't restructure, then they use it. The next topic I want to talk about was friction within the Buffalo Bills organization. Now, this just recently came out with a Tyler Dunn article, which kind of discusses some of the players' viewpoints of the last 13 seconds of the Bills-Kansas City Chiefs playoff game. And the thing that was kind of interesting about this is that we never really got an answer for what happened in that time frame. All we know is it was just like, it was an epic collapse, starting from the non-squib kick, going right into the defensive coverage packages, the prevent defense, and then basically just marching down the field and scoring again, kicking a field goal within 13 seconds. It was just such a crazy collapse that happened. Sean McDermott just said it was a lack of execution, did not blame anyone. You didn't want him to necessarily blame anyone, but there was just never any explanation about that. Since then, the NFL Combine is going on, just went on, and this was the first time that the media got a chance to talk to McDermott and Bean since the locker room cleanout area, and they asked them again about what happened at that time, you know, maybe hoping to get some clarity about the situation, and then you just kind of stuck with it was a lack of execution. That's all I'm going to say about that. And there was a tweet from Josh Reed on Twitter, at for Josh Reed, who covers the Buffalo Bills for WIVB. He said, "I've talked to several NFL assistants and college coaches in Indy who are very much inside the circle, and they believe that there is some friction between the Bills head coach Sean McDermott and some of the staff. Most of them also added that it's not that unusual." And then follow that up with the Tyler Dunn article, where he has multiple players confidentially talking to him under anonymity, obviously. You wouldn't want your name out there. Basically saying that it was a coaching blunder for all of that. that it wasn't a lack of execution. They said that, and I won't give it all completely away. Obviously, you should subscribe to go along with Tyler Dunn. But this is what I gathered from the conversation. And I didn't subscribe, and I'm not a subscriber only because, like, I subscribe to The Athletic, the Buffalo News, like, it just gets to one of those things where, like, I like Tyler Dunn. We've had him on the podcast. Super cool guy. Nice guy. Very knowledgeable. Amazing writer. It's just like, you know, when you have Netflix and like Disney Plus and you're like, should I get Hulu? Should I get HBO Max? Like, I want it. I really should get it. But then like you just justify to yourself, like, now I'll just keep with these two for now. I'll just try to watch everything I can. And then eventually, you know, you end up subscribing to like two or three more in the long run. But you guys ever wonder that? Like, because you guys are mostly cord cutters too, right? Like, there's always a better cord cutting like like subscription software out there. So like I have Disney, Netflix. We're able to get a Peacock account from someone else, which is great too. And we had Hulu for a minute, and then an ex-in-law took away the subscription or something or whatever. So like we don't have that anymore. Now I really miss it, but I'm like, do I want to pay $10 more anyway? Do you guys ever deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the from someone else thing is key. You kind of share certain things and get certain things, and it works out, right?
It's like a barter system, John. Mm-hmm. A tit for tat, quid pro quo. So what do you sign up for?
Netflix.
And then you give that password to somebody, and then they give you
And then
their...
we get a Hulu, and then we get a, you nice. Know, a Peacock. And
nice little underground economy.
John only gets Netflix. He also gets Paramount Plus. He also gets HBO Max, Showtime.
Those are all different people.
Right, yeah, it's not the same person.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Oh, no, exactly.
So they're each getting one and sharing it with the group.
Yeah, like so nobody specifically...
Socialist system.
Well, nobody has hand in this situation, in this scenario. Because if
no,
John...
everybody has hand.
An equal hand.
Now, the price of Netflix just went up, if I'm not mistaken.
John. I think everything just went up.
Okay. Everything just went up. Cable went down, surprisingly.
The best part is we don't watch anything. So. We don't...
Never had so many options to watch. Never had any less time to watch anything.
Once in a while, we'll throw a DVD in.
DVD. Once in a while, I break out the VHS to watch some. Yeah,
I still have a VHS capable system that I can use if need be.
Is that a VCR?
Yeah, but it's like integrated into this 13-inch TV. So
you can't get rid of that thing. That thing's going to be worth a fortune in a few years.
You can play Duck Hunt on it.
So if Netflix ever comes up with a way to limit the sharing of accounts, that's when we buy Netflix stock.
I think they all kind of do to an extent. So you have to be careful with that.
Well, I share with five other people. You share with five other people. Nate, how many people do you share with?
Five must be four of it.
Only three people. I feel like I'm getting jipped.
You're underutilized.
I've been taken advantage of. I feel like two or three subscriptions I buy. I have hand. I want to be in a part of a socialist utopia that you guys are in. Jeez, all these services. Mike, do you even pay for a service, or are you getting off scot-free? Are you getting
Let's
handouts?
Let's change the subject. Handouts.
Mike's getting handouts from the...
I provide value in other ways.
I do their taxes for them. Like, what else could you possibly do to give them?
I tell them when the bills are due.
You get a lot of channels just for having an over-the-air antenna just to begin with, right? You get, you know, CBS, NBC, Fox, and all that. But then you get like the, you know, the 10.234567. Like, there's all these channels in between. So the
you would ever want to watch.
No.
Well, no. At a certain time, maybe.
How
it's like showing MASH, right?
It's just
MASH.
it's just like how we grew up, right? Like you have to tune in at a certain time to watch whatever show.
If you're not watching live sports, how desperate of a person do you have to be to watch like actual TV? like primetime Thursday or whatever goes on now.
Old soul, John.
John's like, I like Nick at Night, to be honest. That's my go to. Leave It to Beaver, Bewitched.
One of those channels does like a Star Trek thing, like they do like every hour they show the next Star Trek in line.
Oh, well, you can't skip
like the first, like, right? You know, from like, you know, 8 to 9 might be the original Star Trek, 9 to 10 might be the Next Generation, and then Deep Space Nine, and like it kind of goes like that.
John, I didn't know you were a Trekkie.
I watch pretty much, you know, whatever, you know. I like Star Trek.
Star Trek. No, yeah. That's cool.
Star Trek. Yeah.
That's cool. But yeah, so the Bills, friction. Speaking of you guys, glad you guys don't have any friction in your utopian socialist societies where you just share the streaming services, which apparently
maybe we need like an app for people to hook up.
Yes. That's the next big thing. You only are allowed to give out one. Give as many passwords as you give out, you get to gain, right?
It's like Tinder, except for streaming services.
Streaming services. It's
like I have a Netflix. Like I need a Hulu.
Yeah, you do. Oh man, like the hot chick on Tinder would be like the one with HBO Max to give away or something. What's the premium subscription service that everybody wants but nobody wants to pay for it because it's expensive? That's the only one I could think of. HBO Max. Maybe there's another one.
Do you have that, Nate?
No,
it's swipe left.
Nice. That'd be the same as if, like, are you 6 foot tall? Swipe left. No, swipe left. Do you make 6 figures? No, swipe left. Like, do you have an HBO Max account? Swipe left. Yeah. So friction within the Bills organization, basically saying that, like, what Tyler Dunn essentially said was that it came down to coaching. Specifically, Sean McDermott. And I guess they thought that Heath Farwell wanted to do a squib kick, and Sean McDermott didn't, and I guess he kind of overrode him. Now, they don't know 100% for sure if there was a lack of communication between, did Sean McDermott change it in that time frame, or, you know, and Tyler Bass didn't get the call, or did Sean McDermott overrule that? But, like, the defensive alignments afterwards, like, fall on the head coach and stuff like that. And I guess what pissed off the players was that they really don't even know 100% what happened that game. They never really got answers themselves as to why they were put in, why there was no squib kick, why they were put in the prevent defense, all that stuff. Like, they don't know why. And they think it comes down to Sean McDermott. And they're kind of speculating that, like, it was all because of him, and he preaches accountability like nonstop. Like, that's his thing. Like, admit when you're wrong. Like, everyone makes mistakes. Like, get better, blah, 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 growth mindset. But he didn't have any accountability for the collapse that happened in that game. And when you have players like that, grown men, athletes, paid professionals, and they put their, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into a season, and it ends like that, and the guy whose fault it is doesn't come forward and say, hey, that's on me, I did this, like, they're kind of ticked off, more or less. And I don't necessarily blame them for that. I guess it comes down to, you know, where does it benefit him to say that? Does he lose the whole locker room if he comes out and says, that was on me, I'm the reason why your season ended, I'm the reason why you're not in the Super Bowl? Because Tyler Dunn, in talking to these athletes, they were all like, yeah, we would have went into the Super Bowl for sure, and we would have won. I don't know if that would have necessarily happened. That's quite a, you know, there's a lot of things that had to happen. Like, I think they would have had a decent chance for sure if they'd won that game. But I guess, John and Mike, I'll ask you guys, like, if you're sitting in that locker room and the guy who's been telling you nonstop to preach accountability and he doesn't have it, does that make you lose respect for him? Or is that better than him coming forward and saying, that was on me, I did that, I should have done that, I'm sorry, guys? You know what I mean? Like, there's a fine line, I feel like, where Sean McDermott loses the locker room one way, or he loses it the other way. one more completely than the other. Does that make sense?
You know, this reminds me a little bit of the bickering Bills, right? 1989. And you know what happened after that? They went to 4 straight Super Bowls. So, you know what? I'm not too worried about this. You know, I think they'll figure this out and, go to a lot of Super Bowls after this.
By the way, if people aren't familiar with the bickering Bills and streaming services, Four Falls of Buffalo is on Disney Plus. For any Bills fans that want to watch the Four Falls of Buffalo, which I would absolutely recommend. I actually watched it after the Kansas City Chiefs loss and thinking it was just going to put me in a deeper depression, like a John-like level depression, right? But no, it was actually really entertaining and it was really good to see. And it kind of made you honestly a little bit optimistic to watch it. So that was good. John, Mike, John thinks this is going to lead to Super Bowls, even though there was no potential specific bickering like there was with the Buffalo Bills at that point, which was just funny because I remember they show a clip where Jim Kelly's like, they just lost to like the Houston Oilers or something. And Jim Kelly comes straight out and he's like, well, we need some help and protection. He's like, and I'm sure you guys know who it is. Four of the five guys are doing a great job, except for the left tackle or something like that. Just like completely just put Howard Ballard. Was it Howard Ballard at that time? John, I think it was. If not, it was another. It might have been before Howard Ballard. But like, just like, yeah, left tackle's really not doing his job. And then Thurman Thomas to retort, because all the other players in the offense were pissed off that Jim is just pointing fingers. So somebody was like, somebody asked Thurman Thomas, he's like, I think the quarterback could be doing a better job. And then the bickering Bills just really like got out of hand. And then they got to, Bill Polian had to get involved and all that stuff. But anyway, John or Mike, do you get, when you hear this and you're in the locker room, does Sean McDermott lose you if he takes the full blame or if he doesn't ever blame anyone and leaves it up to speculation?
This is all hypothetical, right? It's like, it's too many. Yeah. Oh, no, it's anonymous source. Everything's clickbait nowadays, right? Like, who knows what's true? But just, I respect people a lot more if they're straight shooters, for sure. Like, we've all been... had bosses in the pyramid. People are above us. And if somebody gives you an order and tells you why, like telling someone why is crucial. They tell you, hey, this is BS, but we need to do it. Like, okay, I'll run through a wall for you. If they're just like, well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's different when they give it to you straight and they're just like, yeah, this sucks. Like, you know, we just got this project handed to us and we all got to do it. Sucks. We got to work longer hours, but you know what? We'll get through it. It's different when that happens, unless like the boss was like, yeah, it really sucks. I screwed up. We're going to have to work a lot more hours. Like, it sucks. Let's get through this. And then you're like, well, what the hell? Like, if you hadn't done that, then I'd be home free. You know, like, so that's, I think, more of the apt analogy.
I would say the end result is the same, though, except in your example, you have a little ticket. You stick that ticket in your pocket and you cash that in when you need to.
Well, that's a good one. It's a good one. It'd be funny if you'd start talking to your boss like that and he did it again. You'd be like, oh, old Jeff over here screwing the pooch again. Thanks a lot. Excuse me?
But I thought in the press conference after the game, McDermott didn't specifically, the intonation, I would say, was that it was not his fault.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way he made it sound, like he didn't want to throw anyone under the bus.
Right, meaning, oh, it's the kicker's fault.
Yeah, it's the kicker's fault.
Or the special teams coach. Like, yeah. Oh, I told them they didn't do it. I'm not going to say whose fault it was, but it wasn't mine, was the implication.
Yeah, the implication was like, just so everyone's clear, when they leave this press conference, it wasn't me, Sean. John was not the one. Even though, you know, he could have said the defense could have played better from a standpoint. But yeah, anyway, this was an interesting, just nobody likes to get the wound reopened, but it should be interesting. I'm curious to see how this might affect the locker room. I can't... In my head, I'm like, it shouldn't affect it that much. because there's been coaching spats between, like, you know, coaches that don't get along with each other or whatever. I mean, Heath Farwell left for, you know, the Giants. So like, he's gone now, so they don't have him. So that could have been one of the issues that came up. It's not for sure, but it doesn't sound like, they made it sound very clearly that it was Sean McDermott's fault that they thought it was the head coach. So anyway, here's hoping there's no drama at One Bills Drive and that McDermott can obviously continue to maintain the respect of the players underneath. But let's start talking about some actual items before we get into the Bills Fred Jackson jersey giveaway. We have the Bills' biggest needs going into this offseason right now as it stands before the Bills have re-signed anyone, before the Bills have signed any free agents, which doesn't happen for a couple weeks. We have the status of the Bills roster. And I did a few different polls on this. So I did a poll in February 13th. So what's the Bills' biggest offseason, biggest need heading into the offseason? I had defensive end. I had interior offensive line. I had cornerback. And I had defensive tackle. And the biggest need at that point was defensive end at 33%. So this is kind of cool because this is exactly what Eric Wood said it would be when I had him on a few weeks ago. Eric Wood is like, defensive end is the biggest need headed into the offseason. Interior offensive line was second at 24%. Cornerback was third at 22%. And defensive tackle was fourth with almost 20%. So like, I was pretty proud of myself. That poll was pretty close, but defensive end was the winner. Now, I do this poll just a couple of days ago, and defensive end was second. The number one need right now, as the Bills see, is cornerback at 41.5%, and then defensive end, and then interior offensive line. Wide receiver only got 8%. And then people were like, oh, put defensive tackle on it. So then I did in the second one. The second one, cornerback still led by far. Then defensive tackle was second. And then interior offensive line at third at 15% and defensive end at 7%. So 48% to cornerback, 29% to defensive tackle. So those are the biggest needs heading into the offseason based on Bills Mafia and polling. So I guess I would say it'd be cornerback, defensive tackle, and defensive end, almost in that order. But so I asked you guys all in order to be in the running for the Fred Jackson jersey, I ask you guys to email us or DM us some of your positional needs. So we got some really good ones. I'm going to read a couple of short ones, and I'll read a couple of long ones. We'll go from there. So Rory writes in, he says, defensive end pass rusher, we have put a lot into our D-line and have had Hughes and Addison likely gone, not to mention playing like rotational players. Better pass rush could help mask weakness at cornerback. Which is a very, very interesting take. You know what's funny is the Bills, I believe, based on SpotTrack, had the number one most spending in the NFL on their defense. So it was good that they were a really good defense, but it's just me. But like, I know that Hughes had like great pass rushing statistics for pressures and stuff. Is it too much to ask them to actually get home more often and actually like sack the quarterback? And I don't know. I feel like the pass rush, like Rory says, could definitely be better this next season. And I don't know if they have the guys on their roster right now to do that. Eric Miller writes, I'm stuck picking between cornerback, a CB2, cornerback two, or a middle linebacker that has coverage skill or coverage speed. Hill burning us in the Kansas City game still hurts. I think linebacker is a good option right there. I like cornerback. Obviously, cornerback is, we mentioned last week with Tre'Davious White's status kind of up in the air. They did mention, though, at the combine this last week that he's on schedule. What that really means and when we can expect him are two different things. Middle linebacker. I haven't heard a lot of people mention linebacker. That's an interesting need. Jonathan writes, separate Jonathan, I really think we need a cornerback. With the looming loss of Wallace and the uncertainty of White after his injury, we need some bolstering in the secondary. I also firmly believe that we can upgrade from Wallace. As good as he is, he has many limitations at that position. Can't wait to hear your pod next week and all off season. As always, go Bills. I like that one. As always, go Bills. P.S. Keep Gronk the F away from Buffalo. And Mike just showed why John and Nate's are better by saying he would take him.
What?
Saying he said he Mike showed why John and Nate are better by saying he would take Gronk. That's what he meant to say. He had implied it by saying that, you know,
oh,
you wanted Gronk, and he's a John. He's a Jonathan, so he has both of our names. So obviously, Mike, you know, John and I are fans of Jonathan.
You.
I went from not being so sure about John's, J-O-N's, to like being like, oh, it's like my second favorite name.
So let me get this. So you guys wouldn't take Gronk and I would, and that's his beef?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Like, you guys would take Gronk, would you not?
I would not, no.
No, not at all. All
right. have you ever heard that story about Winston Churchill? Right? He's at like a swanky big party, right, for... Rich.
Sounds like you're making it up already.
And
is this the Great Gatsby?
There's super smoke show. Hot girl, uh-huh. Right? Now you're interested.
1940s hot or like, yeah.
And so he says, like, would you, it's a lot of money back then, probably millions a lot back then, right? Like, would you sleep with me for $1 million? She's like, yeah, of course I would. And then he's like, well, would you do it for $10? And she slaps him across the face and like, what kind of woman do you think I am? And he's like, we've already established what kind of woman you are. Now we're just haggling on the price. Right? That's what we're talking about with Gronk. Like, for $1 million, we would all take him. For $10 million, none of us would. But somewhere in the middle, there is a price that we're just haggling about. So I disagree with this Jonathan,
I don't think that's it at all, but it's still interesting, but
it's totally a function of price.
You didn't establish a price to begin with, so you can't even use that as an analogy. It's not like, oh yeah, well, yeah, we take him for whatever.
I don't want him in general, like even price regardless. I mean, I know that he could, in theory, like, help me. I mean, we just talked last week about how bitter of a person I am. And like with this one especially, like, I'm very
the worst.
I wouldn't say the worst. I mean, it's up. Okay. All right. Well,
95th, you know what? Percentile.
You know what? That kind of pisses me off that you said that, Mike. But it's like, it's funny. I shared these tweets, Tredavious White's like response the week after he got hit. And he said the first like minute and a half of the interview, like, people around his locker room, he's just like, no comment. Like, I don't know what to say about that. You'd have to talk to the officiating. They're like, what do you think about him only getting one game suspension? He's like, I don't know. He's like, wasn't enough for what he did, blah, blah, blah. And then he went into it and he's like, eventually he's just like, you know, he could have broke my neck. He's like, I have a son now. He's like, I have to be there for someone now. He's like, I didn't, you know, he could have ended my, basically implying like he could have paralyzed me or he could have killed me by doing what he did. And people are all like, well, if Trey's okay with it, you should be okay with it. And then I'm like, well, I don't know if Trey's really okay with it. And they're like, oh, well, he said in some SiriusXM interview that he was okay with it. And he wrote some sort of statement that he would move past it. I'm like, yeah, well, have you ever just like lied? Have you ever done that? Because he might have just done that just to like make it look like he wasn't. So I'll tell you, maybe this is where Bitter Nate came from. So I remember a time where it's such a small scale compared to this, but I remember getting punched in the face at like 5 years old, right? Like, I remember this like vaguely, right? Like, it was like little tight soccer, right? It was the first experience I had with like soccer as a kid. And we lived in an area where you can do soccer at like 5 or 6 years old. So my parents signed me up. I went to go grab my soccer ball from like another kid, and he was much bigger than I was. and it was my soccer ball. It had my name on it. Now he also just happened to be another Nate. It had the same name, but it wasn't his soccer ball because they were a slightly different color. And he took it away from me. And instead of me having to wherewithal as a 5 year old to be like, excuse me, I know it says that it's your name, but really, if you look closely, I'm sure that you'll find that it's not your name. I'm sure you'll find that it's not your ball. He thought I was just trying to take him. So when I went to grab it, he punched me in the face, which is like, you know, I remember that to this day, like 30 years later that happened. Like, am I bitter about it? You know what? Absolutely. No, it's just, do I think about that all the time? Yes. But do I want to find that guy now as an adult? and maybe rear end him in traffic accidentally
into an intersection.
Do I fantasize about bumping him into oncoming traffic? You know, and then punching his 5-year-old. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, you know, and I'm not bitter about that now, but it's like funny to think about it. But like, I didn't forget it. Like, you know, like if I ever met the guy and he was just like, yeah, I don't really care, would I be happy about that? Probably not. But like, if you look at it from the standpoint of Tre'Davious White and Gronk, like he might say he's over it. That was much more, egregious than anything that's probably happened to almost all of us. Like, even if you've been sucker punched, like that's not the same as a guy who's like 50 pounds heavier and like a foot taller than you just running at full speed into the back of your head while you're laying down. Like, screw that guy. And people were just like, people were in my mentions. So like a lot of people liked and agreed with me, but then there were people in my mentions that are just like, you know what? A guy had like one bad thing that happened to him throughout his entire career, and you're going to judge him by that. I'm like, actually, it was a separate Bills football player that had an amazing football career and had an amazing post career, except for one night in Brentwood, and everyone's judged him by that ever since then. So I can absolutely judge Gronk by that one thing, because I think that says a lot about him. But anyway,
even all that aside, which I totally agree with.
OJ had a long history of abuse of Nicole, though. And Nate's that other Nate, it might have been the first time he'd ever experienced another Nate. You might have blown his world. He might have thought you were a liar, which I don't condone him of going to violence, of course, but he might have thought you were trying to steal from him.
Yeah, he probably did. Because I was. In his eyes, I was trying to take the thing that was his, but it was mine. Yeah.
I just, definitely Gronk was at fault. We can agree there. I just, it's.
You get over
in the heat of the moment sometimes.
He's going to be 33 years old. He's been injured a lot. He's only played one 16-game season since his second year in the league.
John.
Is he even going to be available?
I'm just saying, maybe he thinks the Bills are the best way to win a Super Bowl. He wants to come back to Buffalo and he'll play for $1. Then I would take him on the team.
He's won plenty of Super Bowls cheating and all that. He's fine. He's got what he needs.
So I guess my Winston Churchill point would be like, okay, $3 million. I said I don't want him forever. It's like, maybe for $3 million. Maybe something that like, vet minimum. Would that be how much I would? I mean, he'd be a help for sure. Like, if you can look past it, I just can't. And people are like, well, what if Trey White came out and say that he was okay with it? Well, technically he did, but like, if they had a press conference where he's like, it's all good. Like, I mean, how would it be all good? What could he possibly do? I don't know. I don't have answers for this, but I still don't want him. So good for John to write in and say that keep Gronk away from Buffalo.
Did you see the rumors? Amari Cooper possibly maybe might end up in Buffalo.
Ooh. If,
you know, a couple different things happen. Maybe that'd be interesting.
That would be very interesting. I'm all for that. Amari Cooper, slot receiver? Is he a slot receiver for the Cowboys? Can't remember. Yeah, be an upgrade over Cole Beasley. So, AJ Tharp writes in, good afternoon. My biggest need for the Bills is cornerback 2. If we have 2 strong corners plus Taron the Taint Johnson in the slot with Poyer and Hyde, it will allow our D-line to get more coverage sacks. Also, QB2 is quietly a top need. Bring Fitzy home. I love this one. And he said, also, we need to trade for Keelan Cole so we still have 3rd and Cole once Beasley moves on. Thank you. Thank you for writing that, AJ. I certainly don't want to lose Cole Beasley because of that, but yeah. Dylan Sable writes, receiver is my answer. McDermott said that we cannot lose our fastball. We need interchangeable pieces for Josh. We won't be picking in the top 10 anytime soon. The track record for awesome talent at wide receiver is late first. We need to reload and make sure it is not an issue moving forward. Steph goes down next year in week 10. Are you confident? Give me more hands. We can't sign them in free agency. We don't have the money. We need to load them up in the draft. Double dip. Ooh, double dip. Another Seinfeld reference. Wow. John likes that one. Critical Chef writes, hey, Nate, Critical Chef, who's won multiple things, by the way. Maybe he'll win this one. Hey, Nate, hope you guys are doing well. Just finished listening to today's podcast, and it's another great one, as always. Thanks, Critical. Oh, you know what? You just won for that. You know, you just won the pot. You just won the Fred Jackson jersey for saying that. Just kidding. In regards to the drawing, I'd have to say that woefully, our most pressing need this offseason is cornerback two. I have never been on the Levi Wallace hype train. I feel like there's not even been a hype train for Levi Wallace. I feel like most people are either okay with him or they just hate him for some reason. I feel that he's mediocre at best. If McDermott has been able to get this level of play out of him, just imagine how much he can do. How much he can get out of a cornerback drafted in the first or second or third round, especially since Trey White most likely won't be ready to play at the beginning of the season. We'll most likely be bringing in a free agent who can fill in until Tre'Davious White is ready to go. We need someone with better physical overall traits. I like that one a lot. And because behind him, I mean, if we're looking at the depth chart, behind Tre'Davious White is Taron Johnson, Dane Jackson, Saran Neal, Cam Lewis, Nick McLeod, Elijah Griffith, Tim Harris. Like, it's scary. It's a scary list after that. Okay, I'll read a couple more. Justin Goddard, the co-host of the Wandering Buffalo podcast. Justin and Andrew are a great listen. Also, they had me on a couple times. Cool guys, really fun conversations. Also, I'm not above throwing my hat into the Fred Jackson giveaway. He writes, I have a sneaky biggest need, and I think it's wide receiver, and here's why. Uncertainty with Cole and McKenzie, the money involved with both, Manny Sands likely retires or doesn't come back, and all of a sudden being stacked at receiver 1 through 5 goes to being average real quick. We have a lot of needs like offensive line, defensive tackle, possibly defensive end, cornerback too, but I feel like having a good defense is kind of a bonus to the offense being the strength of the team, and that offense likes to move with receivers. Maybe it looks a little different with Dorsey, and maybe Josh has gotten to the point where he elevates whatever receivers you give him, but having a stable of receivers that can help you win a shootout with anyone, I think, is the most important thing to future success outside of Josh's five fire emoji, Allen. Outside of Josh, five fire emoji. I love that. I love Justin's point right there. So Jason writes, Nate, good afternoon. I think there are a number of positional needs for the team. Take it all next year. Defensive ends for years have done a great job getting pressures, but not sacks. This is great for disrupting the timing of the offense, but doesn't necessarily create negative plays. Hopefully, Epinesa going on year 3 and Rousseau and Basham moving on to their sophomore season can take a leap forward and turn those pressures into sacks. Adding a proven defensive end would also help, but is going to be very costly. Yeah. He also talks about a number of different, like, great email from them. From Jason, he goes into a lot of different things. Backup offensive lineman is a need. He also talks about wide receiver, tight end, weapons, talks about cornerback. I mean, there's just a lot of different needs out there. So those are the top. So now I'm going to go into kind of what our needs are. And the one that comes out, that stands out to me, especially based on our talk last week, in reading some of the emails and looking at some of the polls and the responses and thinking about really looking at the depth chart. And I'm going to go with cornerback for a lot of the reasons already listed. I mean, Tre'Davious White is a lockdown corner. He's a great corner, but we saw what happened when he went down, and people argue, well, the secondary wasn't that bad in the second half of the season when he wasn't there, but they also played a lot of really bad offenses, like a lot of bottom third offenses at the end of the season. So I think they were able to mask a lot of weaknesses. I think that they masked a lot of their weakness with Levi Wallace as their starting corner, even before Tre'Davious White went out. I don't think he was a great corner by any stretch, and I don't think anyone would argue that. I think he did the best with what he could. And imagine what they could do if you had Tre'Davious White healthy and a guy that had better upside than Levi Wallace. I think that that's a great combination. And people have already mentioned it, but the Tre'Davious White injury, we just don't know for sure if he'll come back 100% by the beginning of the season. This helps bridge that gap. You need another corner. I don't think they have the money for a J.C. Jackson or anything like that. I think they're going to have to draft high for cornerbacks, so I think they're going to go that route. But to me, cornerback is the biggest need. And I know that, like, my mantra last week and going into this offseason is build around Josh. And I still think they need to get wide receivers and even like another running back, tight end, some more offensive linemen to block for sure. I think that needs to be. But I think the biggest pressing need, at least in looking at the roster and looking where they don't really have a good starter, and he might not only become a starter, but the main guy this next season to start. I see that as cornerback. So, John, I'll go with you next. What do you have as your biggest need for the Buffalo Bills?
Well, I think there's three tier one needs for the Bills, and you mentioned one of them, but I think the biggest is wide receiver. Cole Beasley or no Cole Beasley, Sanders is likely to retire. They have Diggs and Gabe Davis, but aside from that, like, even if you look at their whole offense, they need a second playmaker to Josh Allen, just like Mahomes has a second playmaker, Tyreek Hill, right? Like, they need a receiver that can do some of those things. And in addition to Diggs and Davis, the league's all about offense. And, the Bills have one of the best defenses in the league already. And, adding that extra on offense, that extra playmaker, especially because you don't want Allen doing everything, right? Like, you can't have him running around all the time. If he can dump it off on a slant or a do an end around to like some speedster that can go the distance on any given play, so he doesn't have to do it himself. I think that's huge.
Yeah, I like wide receiver a lot, John. Mike, what about you? What do you see as one of the biggest needs?
For me, Nate, it's defensive end. The Bills have a lot of young, unproven talent, but they lack that week in, week out, the stalwart to anchor the line, right? With the loss of Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, they're relying too much on second and third year players. So I'm really looking for them to upgrade in that position in the offseason.
Yeah, right now, I mean, you're missing, like, Mario Addison led the team in sacks last season with 7. So you lose him. Jerry Hughes has always been, a linchpin in that defensive line. Now you got to hope that those second and third year guys can step through. And then literally the only guys they have on their roster right now are Greg Rousseau, Boogie Basham, AJ Epenesa, and Mike Love. So they have guys with that'll be, 1 year of experience, 2 years of experience, and then 4 years, 3 years, Mike Love, 3 years, 4 years. Can't remember. But anyway, you don't have like that big name. So you're either going in with these guys or you're drafting a guy high. You can't afford one, at least at this point, like a Chandler Jones or something like that. Would I love to see a Chandler Jones on the Bills? Absolutely. I think it changes their defense. But maybe this is a good thing. Sean McDermott kind of like shelters his rookies and he kind of sprinkles them in. He never usually gives them too much at once. And maybe this is just a good sign. Maybe this is a chance to really let them get out there and eat, but without the secondary help for at the cornerback position, I don't know how often they're actually going to get home. But I like that need a lot, Mike. I know that they mentioned this in the poll. And John, was this so? What was one of your? So you said there were three top tier one needs. What were your other ones? Did we list them all?
No, you guys got them: corner and defensive end. I mean, it's tricky for both, right? So like, corner, you got Tre'Davious White. You hope to have him back for the beginning of next season. He's probably the best defensive player, right? So they might be good there, but losing Wallace, he's pretty good, but they could always bring in a free agent like they did previously with Poyer and Hyde, and they turned out good. It's hard to say. And then defensive end, that's, they've had a pass rush problem for a while now, and they lose their top two guys that out of that group already, that's tough. So you're hoping Rousseau and Basham, but you don't know. So it's hard. But then again, the Bills have, you know, the last few years, the Bills have had a really good defense overall. So regardless of what they've done, and if they want to, hit home on offense and have that extra threat, that's the reason I picked a receiver.
This is just like, so defensive tackle is kind of another need, another sneaky need I would put in the top four as well, just because I like both what you guys said. I like defensive end is elite. I love wide receiver as a need. Obviously second to cornerback, but I love wide receiver as a need because you like the one emailer said, like you can't lose your fastball. And if you guys, if you don't have guys in the wings waiting for if something happens to Stephon Diggs, like you're done. You're absolutely cooked. If you don't have the talented guys, you can't necessarily rely on Marquez Stevenson or Isaiah Hodgins or Tanner Gentry on the team at that position to take over. Like if the Bills drafted a wide receiver in the first round, even having Stephon Diggs, that would not bother me at all whatsoever. If they drafted a defensive end in the first round, like that might bother me just because they've spent so much draft capital there that you kind of hope they would finally hit on them. But like defensive tackle, like I mentioned earlier, is just, that's a huge need. Right now they only have Ed Oliver and Starlet Tulele as like their starters, and the other guys behind them, like in Brandon Bryan and Eli Anku, you just can't trust. That's why I still suggest that the Bills re-sign F.A. Obada so he can be that defensive end, defensive tackle tweener. You take care of two positional needs with that re-signing. Boom, done. Anyway, so that's a need. John, do you have any other needs that you wanted to mention before I mention another need? That's not sure. Top tier, but like another good one.
Yeah, just piggybacking on defensive tackle. I don't know what the odds are of re-signing Harrison Phillips. That could be a potential option.
I hope it is.
But yeah. Interior offensive line, right? Somebody that can play center and guard. I think that would be good. I don't know how much longer Mitch Morse has. Andy's also getting more expensive at the same time. And then, you know, I know they've had some troubles along the line in other spots as well over the last couple of years. So that could be an option.
The Bills have 9 picks this year. If they don't use at least 2 of those picks on like offensive linemen, specifically like guard/center guys, like there should be one guy maybe that's a strict guard. Like, okay, whatever. But there's got to be one of those guys that has also played center and guard, because the Bills need help at both. Like you said, Mitch Morse is just getting more expensive and you need quality depth behind him. You know, it's a perfect opportunity for a guy to learn for a year or two under Mitch Morse and then become the starter. Yeah, I like that one a lot, John. I think at tackle, we're pretty good with Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown, and Tommy Doyle as like the swing guy for now. But couldn't say that they couldn't upgrade, you know, in any of those positions. You could upgrade at right tackle and make Spencer Brown your swing guy. Like that's I wouldn't be upset at that. Again, like I guess, you know, my mantra has always been build around Josh. And even though I said cornerback is need, I just think that's the biggest need just looking at the roster specifically. But I do love the idea of getting a wide receiver, getting even a tight end, another tight end in either free agency or the draft, because Dawson Knox is really the guy. And then it's Tommy Sweeney and Quinn Morris. It's Dawson Knox and nobody else. Really on this roster right now with Cole Beasley, you have Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, Cole Beasley and Dawson Knox as your weapons, and that's it for the most part. Everything else is either unproven or whatever, you know, and then your running backs. So I would get another tight end, I get another wide receiver. You obviously need like a speed threat at running back. You could probably get that in the draft. This draft is full of guys that have speed at all positions. So, you know, you get one of those wide receivers or whatever. So our top three needs: cornerback, wide receiver, defensive end, and then we also have defensive tackle. John, you got another one. You were going to say backup quarterback, weren't you?
Well, I mean, Trubisky is a free agent, right?
Trubisky's getting
linebacker. I think one of the emails mentioned linebacker. Like after Edmonds and Milano, they got some special team. I mean, there's some potential there still, but linebacker, punter, right?
Absolutely.
Punter. That's a big one.
That's what she said. I like punter a lot. I like the linebacker one. like you mentioned, because I thought that they really have don't have a lot of depth. I know they only play two linebackers for the most part, but AJ Klein is kind of like he's kind of like not as good as Matt Milano or Tremaine Edmonds necessarily, but like if they don't pick up a middle linebacker in this draft, I'd be surprised, because they need to get a guy that could potentially take over if they don't re-sign Tremaine Edmonds to a big deal. And a guy, maybe they feel Tyrell Dotson is the guy or something. I don't really know, but they have to find a guy in this draft or something that could potentially be the guy, because I don't think they're sold on Tremaine Edmonds. And with Josh Allen's price tag going up to over $40 million next year, they need to be 100% positive if they're going to re-sign him. So, man, we went over a lot of stuff this podcast. I'm going to do the winner of the Fred Jackson jersey. Fred Jackson jersey is a giveaway from the folks over at BuffaloAutographs.com. Like I mentioned, this is a cool like mom and pop sort of website where they sell these autographed Bills memorabilia, and it's probably the cheapest on the market that you can find. Like I said, it goes to a good cause. Obviously, they make money, but it also helps out, like, you know, small businesses as opposed to like these bigger companies, right? I feel like Ryan over at Buffalo Autographs, he's the kind of guy that would give you his Netflix password. Like he's that nice of a guy. Or maybe his Peacock password. I don't know. I don't know him well enough. Is he the kind of guy that would give you his HBO Max
password? Why don't you test it out?
Maybe. You know what? If he doesn't give us his HBO Max password, I'm not going to bring him up on the podcast ever again. We need to think. I was thinking between the three of us, even though it sounds like I'm the one that has less streaming services than the U2, like we should like somehow come together and like get ones that we don't have. If there's one that, you know, the rest of us don't have, we should go in together, you know, like HBO Max.
So what do you have to offer?
Oh, I got passwords, buddy. I got at least a Disney Plus. Maybe not anymore. Maybe I use all of those. Netflix. Those are the only two I pay for.
Got it.
I guess I have nothing to offer.
You'd probably have to get something else then.
Yeah, you're definitely swiping
very
left
pedestrian.
On this offer. shoot. Hulu? Would Hulu do anything for you? All the Seinfelds?
No, I got that.
All right, I bring nothing to the table. So the winner of the Fred Jackson.
That falls on Netflix now, anyway.
Is it? Oh, yeah, that's right. It is. Son of a gun. The winner of the Fred Jackson signed jersey from BuffaloAutographs.com is Justin Goddard. Justin Goddard. Shoot me a DM. Let me know that you listen to this podcast, and I will ship that over to you. So it's cool. Cool. I got to have Justin and Andrew on in the off season to talk some Bills, because they always put out a good conversation over there at the Wandering Buffalo. So cool. Congratulations to Justin Goddard. There was one guy I kind of wanted to win just because I love his handle, and he calls himself Connor, but he says his nickname is AKA Hingle McKringleberry. I feel like I just wanted him to win just because of that name. That self-gloss nickname, Hingle McKringleberry, but he didn't, unfortunately. Sorry, Connor. I just have to give you a shout-out for that awesome, awesome name. Thank you guys all that wrote in. I didn't obviously get a chance to read all of them, but they were all very good. Appreciate you guys taking the time to do this. I appreciate you guys listening and discussing and talking about all the Seinfeld bits with us and everything else. So thank you for listening. I think next week we're going to go over specific free agents that kind of tickle our fancy within those needs that we just went over. And we'll go from there. So signing off for John.
So by my count, only 10 positional needs for next season. Not too bad. I think, in Bean, I trust, and go Bills.
For Mike.
Everybody's in the same situation as us. Future's bright. Go Bills.
Everyone's in the same situation for us, but the future is brighter for us than them, right? I hope. Meaning they have need, they all have needs, but our future is still brighter.
Our needs are fewer?
Fewer? Yeah.
You have more.
I feel like we listed a lot of needs.
But every team has needs, John. They're all losing a bunch of players normally.
We do like our front office. We think they're above average. That's something.
It's something, yeah.
It's not nothing.
Hey, even nothing is something.
Wow. Amen to that. And for me, Nate, go Bills. Build around Josh, and also cornerback, and always make sure you have hand. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.